It's a new year and it's time for new possibilities, and do we ever need them? Cricket Wireless can help you make the easy switch to the mobile plan that's right for you, starting at $30 a month. Smile and switch to Cricket. Activation and other fees and restrictions apply. Terms subject to change. See store for details.
Welcome to the Friend Zone.
Every time I'm in the zone.
My name is Dustin.
I'm Francesca, also known as Hey Friend Hey.
My name is Asante.
This is the Friend Zone.
Erin, are you smart?
Very.
Who is always trying to steal from Dora?
That monkey. He's in disguise.
He's in disguise. Good job, Miss Erin.
That monkey.
That monkey.
Shake that monkey. Shake that monkey. Now. I'm sure everyone recognized one of those voices because of the insanely popular TikTok series, Are You Smarter Than a Preschooler, presented by LaRon Hines. Now, his Instagram account is LaRon, L-A-R-O-N, Hines, H-I-N-E-S, official. And that's where you can go to find all of his videos with these fantastic and hilarious preschoolers that he asks the most random questions and they give him the most random of answers, right? But in this case, he sort of flipped the script, you know, a little... Flip the script. And what he did was he asked the teachers at the school questions that the preschoolers may have known the answers to, but the average adult would not. So he asked homegirl, who I just immediately identified with because she had freeze curls. I don't know if y'all remember what freeze curls are. But it's like them short haircuts with like the curls that you stack.
In the back.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And it'd be stiff, yeah. So she had that, you know what I'm saying? So immediately I felt a sense of comfort, okay? I said, what's your name? Shine, girl, you the comforter? But anyway, so he asked her, who always trying to steal from Dora? Now, immediately, I knew it was Swiper the goddamn fox, because they just low down stealing some of them a bitch.
I love that, okay? You know that.
And yeah, I know that. You know, Dora, Dora. Okay,
Dora.
Okay, I used to love, I love Dora the Explorer because of the theme song.
Mama
theme song
knows.
Gets its hooks in me, right? Grab your backpack. Let's go.
Have you ever seen Adult Dora on YouTube? It is the most craziest thing, but it is super relatable. It's it is grown ass Dora having some real ass issues. Shout out to XD. XD showed me this, and I kid you not, it is because like one time she's goddamn, it's just so crazy. Her fucking landlord was like, Dora, I need the rent today, and she was like, oh, I don't have the rent. And then she gonna turn around and look dead at the camera and then say, have you ever lied to your landlord about rent? And he's like, Dora, I'm still standing here. And she's like, me too. And then at the end of the episode, it's always crazy and fucked up, but they always got Swiper in there. So I know the answer too.
So.
Wow.
When he asked that lady, her answer was, she thought about it because, you know, them little kids at that damn daycare center, kids, you know, they so damn worrisome. They will force you, hold you hostage to watch a television program.
Yes, they will.
So you know, they had her glued literally to the goddamn screen watching Dora. So she was familiar with the characters. And what did she answer? She said, that monkey. Now, she was talking to Boots. Now, Boots is Dora's homeboy. You know what I'm saying? You see one, you see the other. Very much Salt and Pepper, City Girls, you know what I'm saying? Boots and Dora. So she knew it was somebody always hopping around and in Dora's business and shit, so she pinned it on him. What I appreciated the most was that she was descriptive. She said, he in disguise. So she knew that she probably had the wrong answer, but she tried to qualify it. That's my takeaway, you know what I'm saying?
Double
no matter
down.
What you say to a person, yeah, you can say the craziest shit, but if you stick to it and you put a layer up underneath that motherfucker, then just maybe you can be successful. So hashtag that monkey. Welcome to the Friend Zone, your weekly look into all things mental health, mental wellness, and mental hygiene. Because who in the hell wants a musty brain? Not me.
How are you guys feeling today? It's been
Hey, friend. How you doing?
He leaned back. I'm like, I get it. It's been a long ass.
He was out. He was done. Okay.
So before we get started, Dustin Ross, you actually have this week's Black business for us.
I sure do. And it's for all you fashionistas and some of you fashionistas too, depending on how big you like your earring. You see, I had a wonderful Twitter user named Gabrielle Truesdale. Now, I'm going to give you a handle just so that you can have that too. It's I am Gabby True. You like how that rhyme came through. Okay. So, but she sent me a wonderful DM on Twitter, and she shared the account The New Bamboo. T-H-E-N-U
Bamboo. I love that girl's earrings. They're so fly.
So dope. Well, there's your reason to buy them right there. Friends fly ass. Like the earrings. And she stamped them. So I would get me a pair super too. Cute. I just would look stupid with mine. Yes, like it's like a it's a large hoop, handmade, hand braided, so many different dope ass colors. Mm-hmm. And just a really, really artistic way to be on your fly girl shit and stay connected to your roots. You know what I'm saying? Been featured in several high-level fashion campaigns and music videos, magazine shoots. Kehlani is a huge fan, many, many other celebrities. So shout out to The New Bamboo, black woman-owned and operated business. Very successful placement in everywhere that you can lay your eyes possibly. So, and on top of all of that, Fran like them. So the website is thenewbamboo.com, T-H-E-N-U-B-A-M-B-O-O.com, and that's your Black Business of the Week this week.
So you, dope. I see Asante click-clacking, so I know you're looking them
up. You know, I'm just all up and through the Instagram looking at all the beautiful Black people with on the bamboo hoops on. It's so amazing. Cute, right? It's beautiful. I
love it. I'm going to have to get a pair while we're recording because I know they're about to be sold out.
Yeah, it's some good stuff on there.
Yeah, and honestly, she's usually sold out. Like, her stuff flies. Like, when she posts that link, you better run. It's like the sneakers app for earrings.
Good for her.
Hell yeah, we love that. So on last week's episode titled Munching and Hunching, you can guess who came up with that one. It was a Shoot the Shit episode, no hot button.
Thank you.
No segment, okay. Just whatever came up. And as always, those of you listening.
Whatever came up.
Those of you listening. See? And those of you watching, had a lot to say. Shout out to patreon.com/thefriendzonepodcast. Shameless plug forever. Asante, who stood out to you?
I was in the SoundCloud streets, and I actually have a couple of comments that I chose. I want to give a quick shout out to Aspen Evans. You know, she's an LA photographer.
I love
from
Aspen.
She is the shiz naive, but she always comments. And so her comment this week was, this
she
was me.
She comes off a little cold.
Stop.
Aspen.
Well, what you didn't. Aspen. You know what? I'm so mad.
It's the way
pissed.
He took himself out.
Anyway, Aspen says, this was me when I did ship delivery for Target. I would always ask customers about replacements, and the women customers were so grateful. The men did not care about substituting anything. Well, hey. Aspen, I am one of the men that do care, and I continue to care. I don't know if you still shipped, because you did say that you did do the ship delivery. But anyway, for all of those out there doing the deliveries, I care. Thank you for your service, because it is much appreciative I have something that's not about to expire in 2 days. Or when you call me and you say, hey, I know you chose this, but you know, this is a better brand, or they have a deal going on. Like, that's that
care
extra touch.
Me.
I know not everybody has it, but there's just something about it. It's much appreciated over here. Not all men appreciate, but these men over here do it the friend zone. So thank you, Aspen, for your comment. I also want to give a shout out to Deandra J. Francis. She says, I completely get what Asante says about BK. Born and raised here, and I love it. I like Harlem, but the energy is different. The people, I can't live there. Nothing wrong with either. It's all about where you vibe. Because I was saying there ain't nothing wrong with Brooklyn, but it's all about where you vibe. So I just don't be vibing with Brooklyn all the time. It's nothing wrong with it. It's just my vibe is up in Harlem. So thank you for that, Deandre J. Francis. Friend, what did you find out there in them streets?
And Brooklyn is fun for like visiting and doing hood shit with
trips,
your friends.
Missions.
Like we did last night. We finally saw each other, by the way, last night after over a year. Which was
literally
so amazing. We hugged each other forever.
What a reunion.
Right? And it was all of us. Crystal, right. Jade, Fury, our friend Gordy, the three of us, Tristan, Jade's husband. So we had so much fun and just chilled out in Brooklyn, a very random New York.
On 420.
Right, on 420, yes. Very random New York Brooklyn night. So that made my day. I miss y'all and I love y'all.
Underneath a magnolia tree, literally.
Underneath a magnolia tree.
Literally,
underneath
under a magnolia tree.
What a night. It was a very random night.
Vibes.
But yeah. I stepped into the Twitter streets where Raven said, so glad the universe had me listen to the Friend Zone pod episode about birthdays when I did. I wanted to go to Costa Rica for the last 2 years and never did because of work, but I just booked a 2-week vacation for my birthday next year because it's time I celebrate me. If you didn't listen to last week's episode, I had shared that for my 30th birthday, I went to Costa Rica by myself and had the time of my life. Ended up making tons of new friends because I was by myself. I was on nobody's schedule. I could go where I wanted, do what I wanted, sleep in, wake up early, eat. It's a freedom that you have with traveling by yourself that you don't get to exercise when you're in a group setting and people have schedules and shit that they want to do. So Costa Rica's lit. You have so much awesome terrain to visit. You have jungle, you have beach, you have mountain, you have, I mean, endless. So the 2 weeks are going to be awesome. I'm happy that you did that for yourself. Send us pictures because that's super cute.
Fran said, I got shooters in Costa Rica.
But Dustin, what'd you find on the Twitter streets?
Because you know that's where I be at. Shout out to this tweet that literally brought me so much joy last week and so many other people as well. There are a lot of tweets for me to choose from this week because I found, so for some reason, the Twitter streets was just off the hook. It was jumping. Ladies, leave your man at home. Okay? But I want to give a shout out to Cash. The Twitter handle is, and she's a beautiful young lady too. Her Twitter handle is strapped for Cash with a K, like Cash Dial. Shout out to UKD baby. But anyway, strapped for Cash, who tweeted, y'all, I am screaming. My little sister so different, with 4 laughing, crying emojis. And her little sister used some software to layer 3 vocal tracks and re-record When I See You by Fantasia.
What?
I'm gonna play a clip because y'all gotta hear this to believe it, and it is one of the funniest things. Fran, I hope you do your chair got a seatbelt, Fran? Yeah. Oh God. Because if your office chair got a seatbelt, you better buckle up. Because here we go, y'all. Here we go.
Who put your picture on your mirror?
I put your picture on my mirrors. That the blush when somebody says your name.
Blush it.
And my stomach is a pain. So you go to my direction, I go the other way. Set the stand when I speak. Set the stand when my knees go weak. What's happening to me? In the dark, can you tell me what it means?
I put my hand on my pillow. Got my hand on my window.
Wish I'm a star for a sign. What's the reason why? I see you. Never know when you might walk by. So I gotta be right on time when I see you. When I see you. I scribble X and O's in my notebook. Checking how my hair and my nails look. Put myself in the zone. I get nervous when you call, so I say I'm not home.
You see my face?
I hear my favorite song. Should I sit in the mirror at home? I got my phone. I wonder if you know. Or do you ever dream? I'm a bit low. Yeah, I'm staring at the window. Wish I'm a star for a sign. When I see you, when I see you, boy, I never know when you might walk by. So I gotta be right on time when I see you. When I see you, something now is taking off.
So shout out to Strap the Cat.
And y'all,
the videos, it's in 2 parts, and God bless this little girl. She layered her vocals on another part. There's two, it's the full song. And I don't know if you caught it, but at the very beginning of the clip, she said, you know how the producer, Midi Mafia, his tag on the beats is Mafia. She even did that. Yes. The girl is 12 years old, y'all. And when I tell you, I just changed my life. So
I changed my life.
Bravo, young lady.
Shout out to her.
The Ooh. Future. The kids are all right.
Hey, the kids are all right. For real.
Ooh,
she
yes.
Said, sexy boy. Sexy boy. I'm telling you like that. Okay. The way she was layering the buckles. Do you have a clue? Yes.
The ad libs. Ooh, yes.
Yeah. So sexy boy, boy, sexy boy. Oh. The way she was singing that
sexy
shit.
Sexy boy.
He's so sexy boy, sexy, sexy boy, sexy boy. That's the way that little girl. That's the name of the episode, Sexy Boy, featuring.
Featuring a bunch
of pieces. So sexy boy, sexy, no. sexy boy, sexy boy.
So sexy boy. Why you sound like the damn avocado stick?
No, but what's killing me is Bud Janista having to promote an episode called Sexy Boy.
You know what? We'll use a dollar sign for the S. We'll use a dollar sign.
Ooh.
She's never going to come on this show again.
ever. But you know what? Because it's worth it. Because she's so rich, girl. So much money, girl. You're so rich, Bunchinista. Oh. So rich, Bunchinista.
It hurts. Please. Please.
Yo, please, you gotta laughter stop. From, like, my soul.
Because you heard that little girl.
Please, please, you gotta stop.
Oh my God, I'm
you
tired.
Have to stop. Play the whole clip too. Ty, you gotta play the whole entire
oh
clip.
Oh my God.
I know 1 minute of it either. Shout out to our engineer, Ty, our super producer, Ty.
Please.
Oh my God.
You gotta play the whole clip, man.
Please.
You know why, Ty? Because you're so talented, boy. So good engineer, boy. So good engineer, boy. <'Cause> you, <Ty.
laughs> I know he be hating us. Woo! Now that was funny to me.
Oh, man.
I can't stop.
Yeah.
Neither
can she.
No. No.
Okay.
No.
Okay.
I am in real tears.
Okay,
and I don't, I'm not going to cry. I'm not going to cry no more. Don't you play it. No, don't.
I'm not going to cry. Just gonna stay.
He's a sexy boy.
He's a sexy boy. Sexy boy.
Oh,
so funny, man.
You know what? That was a great warm up.
It really was.
Because now that I have, now that you know what, now that you got me with that one, I pray that that's the that was the best one, and I'm gonna get you. You're not gonna give me the rest of the time, because when I tell you, real nigga tears are coming down my face. Amory rolling down my face. Like, just, I can't believe you did that to me. Jesus.
Thank you. You know what? Because I felt that way. So sexy, girl.
That was great. Your mom's dealt with your shit for years. Say thanks with a gift that'll deal with hers. A new bidet from Hello Tushy. Bring your mama into the future with the brand new Hello Tushy 3.0 modern bidet attachment. It's stylish, eco-friendly, easy to install, and will help stop flushing her retirement down the toilet in TP cost. Hello Tushy 3.0 cleans butts like a champ, but it doesn't stop there. It cleans itself with the Smart Spray automatic self-cleaning nozzle. When we say anyone can put this shit together, we mean even your parents. Yes, yours. Hello Tushy 3.0 attaches to their existing toilet with no electricity, extra plumbing, or tech support FaceTimes, and cuts toilet paper use by 80%, so the Hello Tushy bidet pays for itself in a few months. Plus, every Hello Tushy bidet attachment comes with a 60-day risk-free guarantee and a 12-month warranty. Mom already got a tushy on her pot? Blow her away with an upgrade to the new Hello Tushy 3.0. If she's new to the revolution, have her join millions of happy Hello Tushy customers right now for a clean butt with every flush. Give the gift of a clean butt. Go to hellotushy.com/friendzone to get 10% off plus free shipping. This is a special offer for our listeners at hellotushy.com/friendzone for 10% off. hellotushy.com/friendzone.
Did you forget that one thing at the store? Now you can get snacks, drinks, and household essentials in 30 minutes with DoorDash. DoorDash connects you with the restaurants you love right now and right to your door. And now you can get the grocery essentials you need with DoorDash. Get drinks, snacks, and other household items delivered in under an hour. Ordering is easy too. You just open the DoorDash app, choose what you want from where you want, and your items will be left safely outside your door with contactless delivery drop-off setting. With over 300,000 partners in the U.S., Puerto Rico, Canada, and Australia, you can support your neighborhood go-tos or choose from your favorite national restaurants like Popeyes, Chipotle, and Cheesecake Factory. For a limited time, our listeners can get 25% off and zero delivery fees on their first order of $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app and enter code FRIENDZONE. That's 25% off, up to a $10 value, and zero delivery fees on your first order. Download the DoorDash app in the App Store and don't forget to enter code FRIENDZONE. Happy eating.
So speaking of soul, here come my soul rich friend, my soul rich friend. Ladies and gentlemen, give it up. Come on, friend. Go ahead, friend.
So this week's episode, we are with the one, the only, and now an added title, New York Times bestseller, Tiffany Alice, also known as the Budgenista.
Tiffany.
Woo. Thank you guys for having me back on. Honestly, it's been so crazy. So I just found out today my book agent, she just texted me and she said bitch. Like she doesn't curse. She does curse, but she's
wait, not that time.
Shout out to Heather with the potty mouth. She's like, girl, you're on the list. For the third week in a row.
Boom.
So I just, yeah.
Boom.
It's just been, I don't think people get like, yo, I mean, y'all know I'm black, right? Right. And I talk about money, right? So, you know, this world is largely, the finance world is largely male and especially white male.
Yeah.
And at first, I'm not going to lie, I didn't want to be on the cover of the book because I was
really?
Like.
Really? Oh, I see.
They're not going to buy it.
Right.
Yeah. You know, I was kind of nervous. Like, I knew my people would buy it.
Right.
But. You know, I was just like, I don't know, you know, because are they going to buy it? And so thankfully, my publisher, Penguin Random House, was like, no, you tried it, sis. We want you on the cover.
I love that. Shout out to Penguin House for that.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes.
And so, yeah, I what I love is that the cover is truly Black Girl
it
Magic.
Is.
My makeup
you
artist.
Look
yes.
Beautiful,
you look
powerful,
gorgeous, Tiffany.
Like a New York Times.
Loki, I wish I had one to hang on my wall just like
look,
that because, I mean,
us,
it's
hey.
Amazing.
Right, but no, like my makeup artist, Lila Nima, she's black. Tanetta Bell, the photographer, mm-hmm. she's
oh, that's
black.
Awesome.
My stylist, she
come
was black.
Come on, ecosystem.
My hype woman, my like, so she brought the vibes. My sister
love
Lisa,
it.
She was black. So it was just such a. I felt really powerful, and so for the picture to come out, just like how I am, like. Powerful but fun, but like you got to get these funds together.
That's right.
So,
that's right.
Yeah. Yes. But I mean, honestly, it just feels crazy because it's like, yo, I don't think people realize a minute ago, like less than 10 years ago, you know, well, just about 10 years ago, I was teaching preschool in Newark, New Jersey. And so.
And now
like, not.
Dreams, right?
And not only, did you end up on the New York Times bestseller, but wasn't it two different lists? Like the
yes.
business
mm-hmm.
and then the how, what is
and the
how to. So how does that mm-hmm. work when you end up on two lists? Does that make you a two times bestseller or it's just one? Like, how does that work?
That makes you a bad mama jamma.
That's right. That's right.
No, so it doesn't. Right? It just means, you know what? It just really means, it's crazy because like less than 0.5% of books ever land on the New York Times
less
bestseller.
Than
so
less than a half.
Less than 0.5%.
And y'all
so
know she know numbers.
Books. Yeah, so on average, about 100,000 or so books come out a year. So less than 500 of those will ever see the list. So to make it on two, and then the how-to list is the hardest list to get on. It's literally called how-to miscellaneous. So that's where they throw the cookbooks, the joke books, the extra, every type of book.
Everyone has access.
Yes. Mm. So for me to get, and it's a shorter list. So for me, so I debuted at number 4.
Mm. Yes.
So you just think about, like, you know, and then the business list. So you're fighting against all these, like, other business folks. And so, yeah, it's just, it's been surreal. It still has not hit in. But what's been better than anything else has been, like, the response from the audience, that they're like, I finally have a guide to walk me through. I get it now. Tiffany, you made this so easy. You know, like, it doesn't feel like, it doesn't feel overwhelming. Like, I know step by step what to do now. So that feels better than almost any other award. So.
Can you walk
How does all that TV ooh. You've been doing feel? Sorry,
No. All of us, we're so excited. Sorry, we're like, hold on. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
You know I'm excited because you know I love all the news programs. Yes. And I love morning news. I watch them all. And home, girl. You might as well. What kind of lease? What kind of short-term lease you didn't sign into Today Studios, girl?
Okay. I know. You know what's so crazy? So I debuted the book. That's the ideal, that you get to debut like your book like on a morning show. But you know that's not like highly likely. You know that's some old Beyonce, Barack Obama, right. But
Tiffany and Virginista.
Tiffany and Lisa shit. Yeah, we know.
But they had me on Good Morning America, had me on twice that week, which is like unheard of. Mm. And then the Today Show the next week. And let me just tell you that, you know, they're fierce competitors. They don't like for people to be on, you were on the other show. They're like, well, we'll see you in a year. Mm. So the fact that they're able to be like, you know what, you know, we love you so much so that we're willing for you to be on our competitor show just the week ahead or our competitor show just the next week. So it's just been, I don't know, it doesn't feel real, mm-hmm. you know, because you work hard. But you know what I told my sister, and this is why she said, this is why it doesn't feel real, because as a black person, as a person of color, you're used to putting in 10, you know, like 10 points of work and getting back 7.
Hello.
That's just life for us. We know. Mm-hmm. So she was like, "You, what you're feeling is you put in 10 and got back 10. And you're like, oh, wait, hold up. You know That's what I mean? Real. Like, because it doesn't often happen That's like that. Because we always overwork just to get what everybody else has gotten. Mm-hmm. And to actually get in what I put out, it feels surreal and it ought not to, but it does. And it just feels like, and just to see like my whole team looks like me, you know, sisters. And just to be like, we never launched some traditional published book before. And so to see Penguin looking at us like this whole all black brown girls crew, like, what the hell y'all doing? How are y'all making that possible? And it just feels so good because we are teaching the publishing industry that, like, you know, you have overlooked, like, you know, I'm sure there's women in your office that are just as dope, but you've overlooked them. Mm-hmm. You know, we're teaching the finance industry that, like, there are other faces in personal finance that need to be considered and heard, and that we can sell. We've sold tens of thousands of copies of books already. And so, like, and that there are women, especially black women, who are wanting to read about personal finance, and you're leaving them to the side, and I'm scooping them up. So
scoop over here.
And honestly, seeing your face on the book, walking into the store and seeing that, you know, on the new book release tables, like, that's just such a game changing feeling. But I want to tap more into the feeling you were saying, you know, just knowing that this happened, putting in 10, getting 10. Can you tell us how it felt when you got the phone call or the email or whatever, however they hit you, that said you are on the New York Times bestseller list? What did you do? I just always wonder that.
So I was like, so what happens is every Wednesday is when you find out, right? So right now there are authors around the world, around the country, that are getting their call to say yay or nay. Mm. So I knew Wednesday was the day we were going to find out. So it's the Wednesday after your book comes out. So I was definitely like, oh, what time is it? And you find out the list comes out around 5.
Oh my God.
So you know, I'm looking. So I had already told my publisher, my agent Heather, I said, look, because I already planned it. I'm like, I'm going to record my reaction. So call me on my stepdaughter's phone, all extra, right? And so, like, because I was like, we're waiting for the phone to ring. Meanwhile, because Alyssa is 14 going on 45 and TikTok's her life away, she got 3% of her phone. Like, I don't got much power on this phone, Tiffy. I was like, I told you earlier that we was going to, you know what? Because these kids don't care about your life.
I love that. She's like,
she was like, leave me some juice for my TikTok dance. So it definitely brought me down to earth. I was like, so Heather called me, but The truth is, y'all know Lovey.
Of course, yeah.
Yeah, right? Yeah, yeah.
Right? So Lovey's old busting bubbles behind. So it comes, she texts me first on WhatsApp. So right when I'm waiting for Heather to call me, I see on WhatsApp pop up, congratulations. Ah! And I knew, I said, Lovey! So I quickly swiped it away so I could try to be like, well, you don't know right, for sure right, what that right. meant. Even though I knew what that meant. So then Heather called me literally seconds after that. And she, but here's the thing. I knew I had made a list because Lovey said congratulations, but Heather's like, no, sis, you made two lists.
Man.
Yes. You also made number one on the Wall Street Journal and number four on a second Wall Street Journal list. You also made Apple, Amazon, the Indie List, Publishers Weekly, USA Today, basically every list that's out there you've made. And I was just like, what? It felt like we were talking about like a friend of mine that we're so proud of, you know, it doesn't feel like, and this is something, so I have a coach now, but she's also a therapist. So shout out to Dr. Green. And she said, you still do not see yourself as Tiffany as you are. I still see myself as like, you know, I'm preschool teacher Tiffany. She's like, no, that's the equivalent of saying I'm middle school student Tiffany. You were in middle school.
Right.
That was a part of your life. But girl, you've graduated from there. And so I still have a really hard time absorbing, you know, what I've grown to now. So it still doesn't feel like me.
Mm-hmm.
It feels like my twin sister. I'm like, yo, she's doing it. Damn, look at her go. Mm-hmm. You know, every once in a while it soaks in, but it's like, no, Tiffany, you're a New York Times bestseller. Like, no one can take that from you.
Ever.
Like,
ever.
You know?
Ever. Yep.
It's like being an Oscar Award nominee yes. or winner, yes. right? Like, they always say it. It could be from 20
it's
years ago.
It's a new
like,
title.
Oh, you're an Oscar Award winner.
That's the yes. sickest part. Yes. Like, no one can say your name yes. without mentioning that.
Without saying.
Congratulations, yeah. Tiffany.
So, it just yeah. feels crazy. Yeah.
I'm so
it
happy
feels
for
crazy.
You.
You know, so yeah.
How did just, you find I mean, out? Sorry, Tiffany. How did you find out about all of the lists? Because there's so many that you just like. I mean, and
her
deservingly
team.
So.
Her team
but like,
gonna make sure she knows.
Did right. they just the make? But did they come to you with one list and say you made all these lists, or were you just getting calls all day like, boom, another one, boom, another one?
It was. So Penguin just kept emailing like, oh, you made this wow, and you made this, wow. and I would share with the team, and we'd all be like, what? So it just. Well, that felt so good because they all worked so hard and it really felt like a group and a team win.
Yeah.
You know, because, you know, you don't know how bad you are. You're just like, you know, because one, you're working with this huge conglomerate of a company and you're like, well, how could I know how to do something that they might not know how to do? But to see, because Michelle Obama said it best. I was in, I forget, I went to go see her when she did Becoming, her book tour.
Mm-hmm.
And she said that she has been in some of these major rooms. And they're not smarter than you.
Mm.
You know, you think that, like, oh, they're smarter, they're better. Mm-mm. Most of them are just like you, meaning that you belong in that room too. Amen. And I thought this was such a great lesson for my team to be like, the team at Penguin is amazing, and so are you. Look what you've done. They're asking us questions Amen. About how we did some of our stuff. You know? And so, yeah, it just, honestly, it just feels like, it just feels like, Black girl deliciousness over here. Like someone asked me my favorite part about being a Black woman, and I said other Black women.
Yeah.
Because no one stands harder or goes harder for you than your girls. And
that's
so yeah,
so
it just
real.
Feels.
So how did you get?
Yeah, so
how did
y'all.
You get in bed with Penguin Random House? Like, how did that partnership come to be for you to even write this book in the first place?
So I'll say this for anybody who's looking to write a book. So what happened was I had already written and self-published other books. Mm-hmm. So my first book was, this is for your, because I know y'all got video
yeah.
now. Your Patreon. Right? So my first book, the
yes,
one with budget, I wrote this
copies.
Like, I don't know, like two.
Yep.
Right, like like 12 or 13 years ago. So this was self-published, and I've got a whole bunch of Live Richer workbooks.
Mm-hmm.
So I wrote them all, and then I had my children's book last year. So what happened was different publishers started to reach out to me to say, hey, you know, would you be interested in doing a traditionally published book? And I wasn't because, quite honestly, the coin is better when you own everything.
Hello.
You know?
Right.
And so I was like, no. But then something said I wanted my voice to reach a wider audience.
Yes.
You know, bigger than what I was able to do for myself. So I started to formulate what I thought the book might be about. And I reached out to a friend of mine who had already written some traditionally published books. Her name is Jean. And I asked her, did she know an agent? And she said, yeah, my agent Heather is dope. I went to the city. Heather lives in the city. And we met. And she was like, yeah, you seem dope, you know, like, what are your ideas? And I told her, and she said, well, put together a proposal. And I was like, sis, I don't know how to do that.
Right.
So she so she gave me, like, a template. It took me, like, 4 months to put together a proposal. Your proposal can be as short as, like, 10, 15 pages. It's just three parts. It's a little about you, a little bit about, like, the book you're going to write, and then a little bit about, like, how, like, what's the market for your book? Like, you know, here's some other books that might be similar. Here's how big my audience is. So they want to kind of like know a little bit of like what it's going to look like to market it. And so I wrote this proposal, Heather edited it, and then we sent it off. And so nine publishers came back interested. And so I've never done this before. So I was
like, wow.
Mm-hmm. And I said, is that good? She said, Tiffany, four is good. Four is good. Wow. I was like, oh, snap. So she was like, girl, in my 30 years of doing this, I don't know that I've seen this. She said, but don't get excited because usually what happens. So what happens is after they express interest, they want to meet with you.
Okay.
So this is right before. This is like the December 2000, right before COVID hit, right?
Okay.
So 2019.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So luckily I was able to meet because I didn't have to. It was like COVID was not a thing. So they were like, okay, you have to come, you have to go into the city or wherever they are and sit across from them. They ask you questions. And so basically you got a razzle dazzle, you know,
right,
and
right.
If black people know how to do anything. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm like Dustin, I put on the,
come on, friend.
Right?
That's right.
Who knows? That's right. Who knows it? I know how to razzle dazzle. Right. And so we meet and then the publishers are like, okay, so, you know, it went really well. Everybody just kept saying,
period.
This is such a great proposal. Did you write this? And I'm like, well, who the fuck else would have wrote
this?
Yes.
Right.
You know? And so that happened over and over. And then Heather was like, it's going so well. And all nine came to the table. She's like, I've never seen that. Usually you meet them and then two, three, four, five, whoever will fall off. And then these are the people who are gonna bid on your book. Mm-hmm. But she said all nine want to bid.
They saw it. Mm.
And
they
I was
saw
like,
it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm. I asked one publisher in particular, I said, why is everybody like so blown away? I thought I was getting that black person thing that when you speak well, they're like, you're so articulate.
For a black.
That's what I thought they would, you know, I thought that's what was happening. And so I asked one publisher, why is everyone so excited? Or is this how you guys always are? And she said, no, Tiffany, that the book, your proposal had a clear voice. Meaning now that I've met you, as I read the proposal, it sounds like you. Mm-hmm. It's very difficult to
translate
get your
that.
Voice.
Yeah.
Yes. Mm. You know? And she said, two, you're introducing a new idea, which my book was introducing something that I call financial wholeness.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And so she said, those two things are exciting because it's something new in an old field. But also, two, your voice is really unique and you're able to capture it. And I was just like, okay. So they all came to the table and almost all of them came to the end. So the way a round robin goes is like literally bidding that people say, you know, I want the book for 50,000 and someone else says 60 and someone else says 70. And that at the end of the day, everyone has to get their numbers in. And then you let the last person know this was the highest bid from today. So let's go again tomorrow. Mm-hmm. So it keeps going up and up and up. So my proposal, it got nearly seven figures, my book deal.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, shit.
Yes, ma'am.
You know? And it was just really exciting. And I chose
the
right
Penguin.
One.
Right.
Yes. Well, it wasn't just because they offered the most, but it was because, too, I chose Penguin because they were a really large publisher, the largest in the country.
Iconic.
Now, really the world. And but also, too, I love the fact that they were like, Tiffany, they saw me as more than just an author. They said, if you come here, we will help to raise the visibility of your brand overall, which will sell more books. And so that's what pulled me in. I didn't want just someone that was going to push my books. I wanted someone that was going to push
you,
me
period.
And elevate
right.
me.
Right. Wow.
Mm-hmm. And so I had about like 5 or 6 months to write the book and I submitted it. And that's the easiest part. I'll say that like writing the book. It's hard, really hard, but it's the easiest part to write it. But marketing a book when people don't buy books like they used to,
right?
You know, it was really difficult. But yeah, that was the process. And even the process of being considered for a New York Times bestseller, there are so many, there's a process to that too that I'm like, I can't wait to share with y'all because I think everybody should know.
Mm.
Well, I think it's a testament to your dynamic personality, which you referenced
period.
In a joke
yeah.
a few minutes ago, but it's a real thing, you know, the fact that you were able to get to execute, you know, this whole entire partnership with a house as large and as revered as Penguin mm-hmm. Random House, you know, and for them to be so eager to work with you, it's because of that sauce. You know what I'm saying? It's because that you went in there and you put that shit on them, Tiffany. You know what I'm saying? And no one else can do that. So I have an immeasurable amount of just pride in what you're doing. Like, I think it's so dope, Tiffany. And once again, you got the damn money.
Okay. Thank you.
So talk to us about Get Good With Money, 10 Simple Steps to Becoming Financially Whole. Here's a shameless plug that matches her picture behind her. Look at all of us. Hey.
I love it, right?
Talk to us about it. Like, how did you decide? Because you are a wealth of information. How on earth do you sit down and pick a topic knowing as much as you do?
So what I noticed is, because I don't believe in just putting out something just to put out something, right. You know? Yeah. So I have a Facebook group called Dreamcatchers Live Richer. And I go in there every day and I just listen and observe to see what people are posting and asking about. So what I would notice is that I would teach a credit class, and then for months, people would be succeeding in their credit. But then I wouldn't hear anybody talking about saving or investing. Or I would teach a budgeting class, and for months, people would talk about how they're budgeting, but they wouldn't talk about insurance or estate planning. Mm. And for those of y'all who know me, you know I used to be a teacher, like a school teacher for over 10 years. Mm-hmm. And it didn't sit right. It's almost like I got you with your letters, but you don't know your shapes. I got you with the shapes, but you don't know your colors. And I thought, Tiffany, there's a holistic component missing.
Come on,
here,
holistic. You know? Literally took the word out of my mouth. I was going to say, it's a holistic approach to finances.
No, sincerely. And it worried me because I felt like I was sending my audience, I like to call them my dream catchers, into the world not prepared. And it worried me. Mm. And so I thought, well, what is missing? You know, should I be pushing them toward? At first I thought, you know what, maybe we'll work on financial freedom together. But even that is incomplete. So I'd reached financial freedom, and you know, like meaning that if I didn't want to work anymore, I had enough money, enough investments to generate enough money that I don't have to actually work.
Amen.
Right? And so
did y'all hear what the fuck she just did? Y'all hear that? Did y'all hear that? Damn, Tiffany. Go ahead.
I'm catching
girl. All
the energy of that.
But it really wasn't enough, right? Because it seems like, oh, that's great, but I was still a whole ass mess.
Right.
Because
well,
I
not
was
right. I don't mean you were. I'm just following along. That's all. I'm just following along.
That's the truth. Amen.
I'm just following along.
Teacher. And so I thought to myself, Tiffany, you still don't have a financial advisor you said you wanted to get. You still don't have enough insurance. You still don't have an estate plan. So here you are financially free, but there's still things missing. And that's when I came up with the concept. It's like, oh, you need to be financially whole, you know? Because I'll give you an example. Prince was financially free. Mm-hmm. He had enough money that he didn't have to work anymore. But when he passed, he did not have an estate plan, you know? And as a result, he was texting his friends. I don't know if you remember, they were saying, like, he was asking them, can you please make sure this money goes to this person? Mm-hmm. Can you please make sure this? That's not an estate plan.
No.
And so all of his full estate went to his sister. Mm-hmm. And from what I understand, Prince used to give a lot of money to music programs. Mm. Now, you know, this is money they came to depend upon.
Right.
So if the estate doesn't say continue that, she doesn't have to continue to do so. So you can be financially free, but not financially whole. Mm. Financial wholeness, what the book is based upon, is these 10 components that are working together to build your strong financial foundation. It is budgeting, it's saving, it's debt, it's credit, it's learning to earn. Those are the first five. Then it's investing for both wealth and retirement. It is your insurance, it is your net worth, it is financial professionals, and it's an estate plan. Those are the next five. Those 10 things kind of weave themselves together to create a strong foundation that the rest of your financial life can be built upon. So financial wholeness is basically your financial fundamentals. Mm. And anyone can be financially whole. And it's actually more powerful to be financially whole than financially free. Mm.
No, I just want to say, I think I told you this already on DM, but this is a book that I wish, honestly, I didn't tell you this part, but I wish I would have got this book in like middle school or high school. Like, this ain't no, you know, I don't want to shout out no other titles, but like, this book like actually is comprehensive and it is actually things that you need to know, and it's not so much fluff. Because sometimes I feel like you get, you know, when you hear finance, you get a little intimidated. Everything that you've mapped out is so easy. It makes you say, okay, this doesn't feel like something I have to overcome. So, you know, in writing your book, you know, I don't know what the process was for you, but you said this was the easier part. But in writing your book, how did you choose what you chose? Did you choose to make what you chose digestible, or what you chose was just what you chose and people received it?
No, I was intentional, right? So Asante, thank you for that, because it was really intentional. A couple of my teacher and educator friends reached out to me. They were like, girl, we could tell when a teacher write a book, boy, right? Because it's student first. Mm. It's reader first. Mm. Even the way it's laid out, I went back and forth with Peng and be like, no. It has to be easy on the eyes. Mm. It has to not feel visually intimidating. That was on purpose. So literally, I laid it out the way you lay out a lesson plan. It's called plan, do, review. Those are the three components and how learners learn. So I was like, okay, one, you're going to get these 10 steps. And each of the steps, I'm going to break down how you're going to achieve these 10 steps to financial wholeness with plan, do, review. In the beginning of every chapter, I tell you, here's the plan for this budgeting step. You're going to learn how to create and automate a budget. So the plan just lets you know, this is what we're going to do today. In preschool, it would be like, today is letter A day. This is where we're going to talk about A all day. So kids are like, got it. They can almost ready themselves for what they're about to receive. Adults need that too. Mm. Then the do part is the actual do this, do this, do this, do this. It's the how. And so in each of the do parts, I give you a little bit of homework to check for understanding. And I tell you exactly how to do it. I show you visually if you need a chart. And I show you like a completed chart and give you a template. And so that's the do section. It's the longest section of each chapter. And then the review section, it's a mirror of the plan part. It's just, did we learn how to create this budget? Is it automated? Is it written? Do you have the right bank accounts? Great. Now it's time to move on. So each chapter navigates like that, but it is very intentional because I'm walking you through gently and walking you through in a way that's doable. And it gives you the autonomy to do the steps at your own pace. So yes, no, it was really intentional, because what's the point of writing if not to connect? To teach for me is to transform, and I wanted every reader who was looking for transformation to receive it.
Amen.
I'm like, I'm still sitting here like taking in the energy of all this greatness. But so I was actually telling Asante before we started recording how when I tweeted out, you know, we have Tiffany coming in, any questions that you guys have, please, you know, let us know so we can organize everything. And it was pretty inspiring because there are a lot of people that have been listening to your tips for many years and are just in such awesome financial positions. And the questions they were asking were so refreshing, because it was like, you know, my credit is awesome. I've paid off my house. My, you know, partner and I have our retirement funds in place. We have a 529 for our child. I don't even know what that means, but I'm assuming that's some type of trust fund or savings or something. Everything.
It's a handgun. Oh, no. I mean, they don't play about their motherfucking baby. Go ahead.
But there were a lot of people that were essentially like, I have all this money now. Like, what do I do?
That's
like,
awesome.
Basically, they're financially whole. You know, they took your holistic approach and now are seeing somewhat of a surplus and are like, where do we go from here? I'm like, what a wonderful position to be in. And I thank you for giving us the keys and the tools all these years. A lot of it being free gems on your Instagram. Obviously, you have your school, the books.
Yes.
Like, to put people in a position to even ask these questions of, like, I have so much money left over. What do I do now?
No, I love that. And I was looking at the questions so I could be, like, ready for today. Because I was just like, wow. These are such great questions. They sound like a continuation of work that's been already been done. That is the legacy. Like, when you're a teacher, you get to leave behind all of these people who are better as a result of what you've taught them. So yes, I'm ready for the question.
Yeah, I was going
to
ask.
I love to see us do better.
Yeah. So before we jump into, because I do want to make most of the episode their questions, because I just think that's the best way to attack what people actually need. But before we get into the Q&A, I want to make sure that to leave space for any questions that Dustin or Asante may have.
I can get mine out the way right now. I just want to know, can I hold a dollar? That would be my question. Now, I'm just here to soak up the knowledge. I know I'm going to get so many gems today that I was not even aware that I needed, as per your normal presence here on the show. So I'm a pupil today. You remember in Ghost, which shout out to Whoopi Goldberg. It's the 30th anniversary of her Oscar award win for Ghost, her role in Ghost. But remember that clay that they was molding in Ghost and they was hitting that pedal and shit? That's me and you on the pedal. So let's go.
I just would like to say I come to you humbly with good credit since the last time we spoke.
Amen. Come on.
You know, that just that simple thing that you were talking about with the separate bank accounts, it was making me look at money and not look at certain dollar amounts. And so it was easier to push things away and then be like, oh, well, I can just actually pay that off all the way now. I don't have to go on no plan for that. So thank you for that. My Apple Card limit was pretty nice when I applied for it.
Yes.
And it's currently being used for cash back and I'm doing it responsibly. All thanks to you. Because remember, I ain't trust no credit card before now. I couldn't do it.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and since we're giving flowers, I want to thank you because you're the one who encouraged me by being a guest on Friendzone to open finally my tax account, where when I get any taxes, when I get a check, taking 30% and automatically putting it into this tax account so that when I do my taxes or I have to pay my estimates, whatever the case, I don't have to like scramble to pull from here to pull from there. Like it's just waiting for me. And it's created a really like easeful experience with taxes because usually that lump sum hit that they would ask for would be the scariest shit ever. So I'm thankful for that.
This is the Friendzone.
Everybody loves money. Hot take, your bank account should work with you, not against you. Chime is an award-winning app and debit card with no hidden fees or monthly minimums. After all, you earned your money. You deserve to keep it. Fee-free overdraft on up to $100 in debit purchases with SpotMe. It's like overdraft protection, but better. Get your paycheck, benefits, stimulus check, and tax return up to 2 days earlier with direct deposit. No hidden fees or monthly minimums. Plus 38,000 fee-free ATMs with MoneyPass and Visa plus Alliance. Security. Turn on alerts to let you know when your card is used and instantly block your card if something seems fishy. Save on autopilot. When you sign up for a Chime spending account, you can enroll in an optional savings account and grow your savings automatically with 0.50% annual percentage yield, 10 times the national average. Chime spending account is required. Savings account is optional. Join the millions on Chime. Sign up takes 2 minutes and does not affect your credit score. Apply now at chime.com/FZ. That's chime.com/FZ. Chime is a financial technology company. Banking services provided by the Bancorp Bank or Stride Bank N.A. Members FDIC. Eligibility requirements and overdraft limits apply. Overdraft only applies to debit card purchases. Limits start at $20 and may be increased up to $100 by Chime. Early direct deposit depends on the payer. Out-of-network cash withdrawal fees apply. Third-party and cash deposit fees may apply. Go to chime.com/FZ for details.
But let's jump into these questions. So the first one we got that stood out to me because there were a lot of questions about student loans. So apparently President Biden's suspension period for the loans may actually come to an end on September 30th of 2021. So a lot of people were like, do we wait and chill until that comes around or should we be paying our loan as if there was no suspension period? What's your advice?
So I say this. One, there is talk of if you have federal student loans, this is not private student loans. This is for federal student loans. If you're not sure, call and ask. But you would know by now because you wouldn't be making payments likely now. But so if you have federal student loans, I don't know that I would be aggressive in paying them off because there's talk of forgiveness anywhere from $10,000 to $50,000, you know? And so I would hate for you to go aggressive on a loan that might be
forgiven.
You know, forgiven. Oh my God. You know, Plus, traditionally, student loans have lower interest rates than, say, like if you have credit card debt, focus on that. Mm. If you've got any debt that's double digits, I rather you put, if you are paying down debt while simultaneously saving, that I would focus my money toward debt that's a little bit more detrimental, especially credit card debt. You know, take that moment, unless you were already good. Let's just say you're someone who's like, my job is not in jeopardy. Maybe you work in a field that's highly needed. You know, maybe you're a nurse and you're like, they're not letting go of me, girl. My job is not in jeopardy. Right. You know, I'm making really good money. My savings account is fully funded. I've got at least 3 months, maybe up to 6 months to a year's worth of emergency savings. I don't have any credit card debt. I'm setting aside money for retirement. I'm also putting aside money for growing wealth now. So you're doing all the things, and then you want to put some money toward that student loan debt because you know that all of your money is going to go to the principal now, not principal and interest payments. So that's what some people are doing. They're taking advantage, saying, ooh, my full $10 will actually go to what I actually owe. Normally, only some of that $10 would go to what you owe, but because they've also frozen interest, you can now just hit just the principal right now. So if you got all that other stuff in alignment, sure, start paying down your student loan debt. And even then, I wouldn't be super aggressive because I want to wait and see. Right. You know, like right. I paid off mine and I'm like, God damn, well, you know what? It's fine.
I know, me blessing too. Cause, you know? Like, I'm happy you know, that no one else, if it's forgiven, like, I'm happy that no one else has to try to scramble to pay these debts off for 20, 30 years.
Yes.
But at the same time, like, that $70K that I paid off, and obviously even more because of the interest over time, I could have used that. Mm-hmm. I'm kind of like, damn.
So that's why I said, like, I would wait just to see. You know, because September's not too far away. And the truth is, you can make more money investing that money than being aggressive with paying off your student loan debt. Because think about it this way. The market, and right now the market's been crazy. Like, people are up like 300%. But on average, the market goes up 7 to 8% a year. So meaning that you can earn 7 to 8%. So you have to so that's earning an interest, right? Right. Well, earning and growth. So you ask yourself, well, what am I losing to student loan debt? Well, right now, nothing, because they're not charging you interest. So you can earn 8% in the market potentially and lose nothing if you don't pay towards your student loan debt. Mm. So I much rather you put your money where it's going to make more. So I'll give you an example. If you have credit card debt is typically double digit interest. So it might be 20%. Right. So you're losing 20% if you don't pay off your credit card, but you could potentially earn 8% in the market. Well, I'm going to be up 8 to be down 20. Let me go head on and pay off this thing that's cost me 20. Do you see?
Right.
So when you're looking about where to put your money, it's like, well, where's it going to make the most difference? I can earn 8 here and lose 0 in interest to student loan debt. So let me go ahead and earn, or I can lose 20 to credit cards and only earn 8 in the market. Let me go head on and be aggressive with paying off my credit card debt. That's how you should look at where your money should go, or at least the bulk of your money should go when deciding whether to save, invest, or pay down debt.
Mm. Ooh. So
that is pivotal. That is key.
Obviously with the pandemic, that changed the game for a lot of people. A lot of people are unemployed, been laid off or switching or in between transitioning. So we got a lot of questions with people saying, I already am not making money right now. Where do I even start? Like, how do you save? How do you do anything when you don't have anything to begin with?
Well, first I want you to stabilize yourself. I wish somebody would have told me this during the last recession, right? Because I lost my job and I lost like my retirement account, my savings, everything else, trying to maintain my basic lifestyle, right? So I wish somebody would have said, girl, you don't have it. You don't have to pay everybody. Yes, they're going to be mad. They can stay mad, right? So just worry about your health and safety first.
Amen.
You are more important than your bills, meaning you're going to look at your expenses and say, what are my health and safety expenses? Because I don't have enough for everybody. So I'm going to look after me. So you want to make sure you have a safe place to live. You want to make sure you have healthy food to eat. You want to make sure you have access to water. So paying those essential bills first with the money that you have, and everybody else will have to wait. Now you can call them, and you should call them to say, hey, Verizon, I know I owe you, girl, but I don't have it. Verizon's not going to be happy about it, but they might have a hardship program. That's why you want to tell them. And some people, you know, are Karens, and they're going to be like, you better give me my money or else. It's like, well, look, I told you. I told you. Like, so, which, and then if they start to harass you via phone call, you go head on with your, with 75 cents down to the Staples, and you print you out a cease and desist letter. And you fax it to any creditor or that is calling you excessively, and you let them know you can no longer call me, but you can email me and mail me. And by law, they must stop calling you. That way you can have less anxiety, you know, so you can deal with what you're dealing with. Now, will your credit score drop because you're not making all of your payments? Yes, but you won't always be in that position. So once you've stabilized your health and safety, now I want you to get creative with earning. So step five in Get Good With Money, the 10 simple steps to becoming financially whole, is learning to earn. One, learning how to earn more at your current job. Like, I really teach you, like, okay, how do I, you know, get a raise, ask for a raise, quantify what I bring to the table to get a raise? But also, two, how do I make more money out here? Like, you know, there are so many ways to make money, especially if you align yourself with the entrepreneur community. More and more people are becoming entrepreneurs and they're needing help. They're needing bookkeepers. They're needing personal assistants. You're needing organizers, graphic designers. There is no entrepreneur friend that I know that doesn't need someone.
That's real. Right.
You know, think about it. Think of all your friends. Like, y'all got someone who builds websites?
That's so real.
You got somebody who can
do that? Yeah.
For real. So I say park yourself in these Facebook groups that are filled with entrepreneurs. Ask yourself what skill set you bring to the table. Use the search bar and see who's looking for whatever, and then message them. Like, hi, I saw that you were looking for an executive assistant, you know, like, because it's just really answering emails, you know. I can do that, especially now when everyone is working digitally. So that's what I would do, is that, you know, right now you have to learn how to earn, but first stabilize your current life. And it's okay. I'm giving you permission to be late on things temporarily until you get yourself together.
Okay, so run me right back through that cease and desist now. Yes. Only because, I mean, like you said, that's stressful for some. So what is, so can you just say, don't text or email me, just email me? Because, you know, for some people, like, they don't want the mail at the residence either and the phone call. So if it's just like a little email notification, like, just how does that work in total?
No, so one, I created, like, so for Get Good With Money, the book, I created a free toolkit. So if you go to getgoodwithmoney.com, go ahead and get you the book. But literally, there's a little button that says toolkit, right? So you're going to click that toolkit button. It's free. And then you can grab, I put the cease and desist letter that I used, right? So this is because I didn't pay my mortgage in 2008, 2009, 2010, 2011. You know, sometimes it happens, right? So I had not paid my mortgage, and the bank, Chase, was calling me like crazy. And then they started calling my sister, my mom, my dad. Damn. I said, oh, y'all some raggedy hoes. They know what they doing. They trying to shame you. Because, you know, my mother was calling like, are you not paying your mortgage? I'm like, they lying, mommy. They lying. Because I had not told her yet.
Oh, my God.
I was like, oh, it's like they like my little sister Lisa just telling. I said, ooh, okay. On site, Vaseline, everything, right? So I was like, oh my gosh, what am I going to do? So I had Googled cease and desist letter. And this is what I tell anybody.
That's so interesting.
Because by law, there's something called the Fair Debt Collections Practices Act. Mm-hmm. And this is a set of laws that governs the way a debt collector can talk to you.
Right?
Yeah, they don't want you to know that.
I knew, right? I was going to learn some. Come on, Tiffany.
Right? So this is, and if you want a link, I believe in the toolkit, the Get Good Money toolkit, I believe I have like the act so that way you can see it. So, so what it says is that by law, you can ask them to not contact you or decide how you want them. Because Asante, you can say no letters. You can say no contact whatsoever, but you don't want to do no contact because you want to know.
Yeah, not know, like, no contact. I just want to give them just one option, you know.
That's what you do. So in the letter, you'll see it says, like, you'll put like your account number, whatever, and then you can literally list, these are the ways I no longer want you to contact me in these ways. You know, here's my address. Do not do that. Here are the phone numbers you've been calling. Do not use that. And literally, don't mail it, fax it, because it will get there right away, and you still get those with the fax that return receipt. And they know that you know that I know that you know that you know. That's why you fax it. And literally by the next day, all of that will be gone. And so that way you can woosah. So put whatever you want them how not to contact you on it. And then, but also leave at least one way that you said, but you can contact me this way. And I'm telling you, do that. Like I'm saying that as someone, I'm not only the client, I'm the player president. I've used that letter many a time back when things was rough. And it really saves your nerves, because it is nerve wracking to get contacted in ways that you don't want to be contacted.
And they can be pretty harsh and aggressive, their tone, like talking to you like you stole something from their store. You know, like it is overwhelming, especially when you're already overwhelmed with the world as it is, receiving these calls daily. Mm-hmm. My God. So since we're
I know what you got for the scammers. No, I'm just kidding.
No, you didn't. So because we're already on credit, there were a lot of questions about credit counseling services. Yay or nay? Are they all trash, or do you have ones that you believe in that you feel actually help our community and are not predatory in any way?
So yes, no. So most of them are trash, but there are some that are good. So I like the NFCC, the National Foundation of Credit Counseling. So if you go to nfcc.org, it's a nonprofit, and they have satellite places in each state. So you would go to their website and you put in, like, sometimes you put in your zip code. These days everything is digital, so it might not matter, but they will help you find like a satellite location near you, and you can get credit counseling. Oftentimes it can be free, or sometimes there's a sliding scale depending on how much you make. So yes, I like the nfcc.org. They're not gotcha. I have been recommending people to them for like the last like 10 years. And so that's where I would go if I was needing credit counseling. So now we've all heard of like these other like Lexington Law, all these other places, but oftentimes the fee is so great. Like, well, if I had it, I'd be paying my bill. Like,
hello, you know, hello, somebody.
I know, right? And so I just say, yes, looking for those like nonprofit organizations. But I'll say this, most people, because one of my friends, Nativa Heard, she also has a company she's a Frugal Credit Nista. So you just look that up, the Frugal Credit Nista. So what Nativa has shared with me, and she's actually one of the people in the book that I tapped into for the credit chapter, and she said most people can do it yourself. You know, that like you don't need to pay all of that money. You know, that's why. So there's a credit section in the book that I pulled Nativa in for. People pay her hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of dollars, but literally you could just go through step by step. I show you how to fix your own credit. It's good to know, you know, because you're paying all this money, and for most people, you don't need to. There's very few people who actually need, you know, to pay someone. Maybe their thing is really complicated. So I would say first try yourself first, and then if not, certainly reach out to the NFCC to see if they can help you.
Amazing. So should we be spending to help boost the economy, or should we be saving? We got a lot of those too, especially with these stimulus checks coming in. There were people.
Okay, what to do with the stimmy?
Yeah, like what do we do? Should I contribute to the economy so we're all good? Should I hoard it? What's the plan? What's the best plan or course of action?
Buy some Bitcoin.
First of all, this is what people love to ask middle class people to help out the economy. Right. Well, how about you, Mr. Gates, Mr. Zuckerberg? Right. How about you help out the damn economy? Like, don't fall into that. Now, here's the thing. I'm not saying that you shouldn't. Like, you have your favorite pizza place, and you're like, oh, me and Raul, we were cool. I want to make sure Raul's good. That's cool.
Right.
Go ahead and make sure that you order your pizza from Raul, but don't carry the economy on your daggone back, because it's not going to be you that saves it or doesn't save it.
I hear
it,
that.
You know? And so it's going to be policy. So I say that first and foremost, the best way to help the economy is for you to be strong financially, you know? And so make sure that you are strong financially. Do you have the fundamentals in order? Do you have a budget, a savings plan? How's your credit looking? Are you managing your debt? Do you know how to earn money outside of your day-to-day job and income? So stabilize yourself, and in doing so, you actually help the economy overall. But I wouldn't rush out, you know, to try to save everyone. You can certainly say that in my neighborhood, here are the places that I was already, small businesses that I was already patronizing, and I want to continue to do so in a way where I can still maintain my health and my financial health and safety.
That makes sense.
What about crypto?
So a lot of people ask me about cryptocurrency. You know what's so crazy to me?
You bought a Bitcoin.
No, I'm just playing. You'll like this the most. No, for real, you'll like this the most, right? People will ask you, you know, should they buy a Gucci belt and they breath stink? You know exactly what I mean. Like, I knew Dustin would like that. Just teeth rotten. Not a floss in sight. And I'm not talking about, meaning that you worry about the wrong thing, baby. Do you have yourself a budget? You worry about crypto, but no budget. No savings plan. Credit looking crazy. You worried about a Gucci belt. You ain't washed. Like, people.
It's that quick, that instant gratification, you know.
Yes, because I saw someone write, I know investing is long-term, but what about that quick money? Here's the thing. If you don't know the fundamentals, that quick money is lost money. It's quick money for someone else that knows. Right. No, I promise. And I've made that mistake. So I'm not even like, you know, that was just a little jokey jig, you know, because I knew just Dustin Black. But sincerely, what you can, like, people are trying to go so fast for quick money. If you were to put your money in an index fund, so an index fund is, it's a basket of investments that mirrors a particular market. I want you to think of a market literally like a supermarket. So there are different types of markets. There is the S&P 500. There's the Dow Jones, right? We've heard of that before. There's the NASDAQ. So the S&P 500, if we're pretending it's a supermarket that sells 500 large U.S. companies that trade in the market, right? So that means when you go to the S&P 500 supermarket, you can only buy stocks from these 500 companies, right? So that particular supermarket gives you a general view of like how the health of the economy is doing because it follows those 500 large companies. So you can literally say, well, instead of me going into that supermarket, I can purchase an investment vehicle called an index fund, right? So I can purchase an index fund that does whatever that market does. And so you might think to yourself, oh, that's so, yeah. You know what? People are up 100, 200, 300. Someone's up 1,000% if you would have put your money in to an index fund earlier, you know, when the market was down, you know? And so if you just put your money into something, like I said, like an index fund, then you don't have to try to jump into GameStop not knowing what you're doing. Right. You don't have to try to pick these random stocks. And there's nothing wrong with that, but that typically takes years of study. So if you have not studied that, then it's just best to say, you know what? I'm instead just going to put my money into something that has always come up.
Right.
Stay in your lane.
Exactly. And an index fund is something that you could purchase from like a... sometimes people don't know where to get that from. So you can look at places like TD Ameritrade, you know, you can purchase index from that's a great company. You can literally sign up for an account and be like, I'm going to look for an S&P 500 index fund. I'm going to put $50 in it every month. You are doing better than most. That like, oh, let me do GameStop. I promise you, even if you get lucky one time, two times, three times, it's like going to Vegas.
Right.
You know, Vegas is... The reason why Vegas is wealthy is because most people lose. Right. You know, it's not set up for you to win, you know? And so if you keep gambling, because investing is gambling if you don't know what you're doing, and it's not investing if you don't know what you're doing. So that's what I just suggest to people is to just choose yourself an index fund, put your money in every month, and just kind of set it and semi-forget it.
Yeah, and I love crypto. I've been a fan of crypto. We had our episode, I think, in 2016 with a friend of mine who's heavy into crypto, but he's also like a day trader. Mm-hmm. Like, this is what he does daily. Mm-hmm. And so that's why I think people have to keep in mind that you have to be extremely tech savvy, because crypto is not easy transferring out coins from wallet to wallet. And you have to have the time. It's not like stocks where you put your money in and just kind of let it sit. It's more of a long-term thing. Crypto is day-to-day because it's so volatile, you know? So it's something that I can understand how that's definitely not for everyone.
And you can still get into crypto with a mutual fund. So a mutual fund is a basket of investments. Right. So you can see, is there a mutual fund that invests in cryptocurrency? Okay. So you don't have to pick which one. You see what I mean? So let's just say you want to get into like cannabis stocks. And you're not sure. There's literally like you can find mutual funds that invest in the tech industry, that invest in healthcare, that invest in cannabis, that invest in crypto. That way you don't have to pick the individual.
Got you.
You're literally just picking this basket. So that way you feel like you're in it without having to individually choose, and you're in it in a way that's more sustainable for you.
Right. And see, the reality sounds, is, see, most people aren't good. Choosing. They just go on Twitter and see like what's trending. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
So that's actually probably a safer way to do it. What were you saying, Asante?
No, I was just saying that makes it so much better because like you're saying, people just go on and they'll look up random companies and they'll probably be like, find this one or I'm familiar with this one. Mm-hmm. So it's better this way. Not to say it's better to like let a computer do it, but this way it's kind of like nothing to really think about. And it's been proven that it's profitable. So I'm going to get me on TD Ameritrade today. Okay?
Yeah, I'm telling you, mutual funds are so great for that because here's the thing. The reason why people like individual stocks is because it's high risk and high reward. Mm. Because think about this. You have this one stock. If this one stock does well, it shoots up. But if that one stock does poorly, it crashes to the ground. It lives and dies by that one stock. Think about it like an elevator cable on an elevator. Like, so you're in the box in the elevator and it's held up by one cable. That one cable, you all live and die by that cable. But a mutual fund is when that same elevator box that you're in, there's like 10 cables, really more like sometimes hundreds of cables. Mm. So even if 50 of those cables fall, you still holding.
Right.
But if one of the cables doesn't extremely well, it's going to be difficult for you to shoot up because all of them have to do extremely well. So you don't get as much as a reward, but you also don't have as much as a risk. Hmm. So the elevator box held up by the hundreds of cables, that's a mutual fund. It means I get to own all these stocks as it relates to whatever subject matter I'm interested in. Cannabis, health insurance, mm-hmm. health care companies, whatever. And so I get to be invested in that industry without having this huge risk, although I'm not going to get the huge reward as if I had just bet one on black. You know, like black 679. You're like, ah, damn, if you lose. But, you know, if you have all of your money on all the black squares, you know, you're going to win a little something and you're going to lose a little something. So that's what mutual funds allow you to do. Most people, that's what they're ready for. They're really not ready to pick individual stocks. And if you are ready to pick individual stocks, you probably wouldn't be asking me about GameStop, honestly.
Okay.
I mean, not to be shady. Not to be shady.
No, that's real. That's real.
I mean, that would seal the deal, that's okay? Real.
I'm not trying to be shady.
You know, but you're saying if they ask you about GameStop, then they showed they slipped. Oh, okay. I got it.
Only Dustin. So mutual funds, are they complicated to open? I know that's going to be the next question from people. Like, how do I even do that? Do I go to Ameritrade and it's just easy step by step?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. You could just go to Ameritrade. You know, they're going to ask all your business. Like, they're right. going to ask for your social security number because, you know, that's their way of reporting things to the IRS. Right. But yes, you can open a mutual fund fairly quickly and easily. And here's the thing. YouTube will teach you everything you need to know. But also, you can call them people. Like, you know, but literally, you can literally say, okay, I'm going to open up my TD Ameritrade account today. But there's also step-by-step video that you can watch to say, oh, click this button if you need all that. Okay, now it's really about choosing the fund that you want. So if you don't know, then I just tell people start with the S&P 500. Remember, that's just the fund that mirrors those 500 companies. You can just start there. And then when you feel more comfortable, then you might say, you know, I'm in the healthcare industry. I think I want to also have a mutual fund that it's all about healthcare. You know what? You know, I'm really into like, I don't know, like pharmaceuticals. You know, I'm going to do a mutual fund that you know, that has mostly pharmaceuticals in it. But I would start with an S&P 500. And that's it. Then you'd be in much better shape. And like I said, you do something that's called, and I'm giving you these definitions because this is what you're going to hear out there in the world. So you want to do something, they call it timing the market, right? Or time in the market. So timing the market, I want you to think of timing the market like playing double dutch. You ever see somebody who's too scary? They're like, oh, they're scared of the ropes. You're like, oh, girl, you scared of the ropes? Me. Right? Go ahead and jump on in. Annoying, right? I know. Look at Dustin's face, right? So that is someone who's trying to time the market. They're like, oh, wait, I got to get in. Wait, no. Right? But time in the market, meaning like you just get in. The longer you're in the ropes, the more jumps you get. Just get in, you know? And so that's also called dollar cost averaging. If you just get in, sometimes you'll get in when the market is up. Sometimes you'll get in when the market is down, and on average, it will average itself out. If you try to figure out when the market's going to be up, when the market's going to be down, you're going to miss out. Just jump in and consistently put money in dollar cost averaging. So consistently put money in your $50, your $100 a month in your mutual fund or an index fund, and you should be good to go.
I'm curious, do you have any stocks that you're a fan of right now?
I bought some, I'll just say like when the market was down, because I have a, and this, I suggest this for everyone too. Like my sisters and I have a WhatsApp, we call it WhatsApp wealth group.
Oh, I love that.
And so one of my sisters, Carol, she's really good at, she told me that she was interested in Bitcoin. Let me see, over 20 years ago.
Damn.
She had seen it and she wanted to buy it then. Yep. She's a girl, it was like 5 cents. And I was, right, she's like, I said, why'd you get it? Yes, she said, well, because then it, you didn't have Coinbase. It was, there was no easy mechanism to purchase it like you purchase it now. So right, she said it was too right. hard. She's like, I'm mad at myself, because she said, girl, we could have been moving on up.
Way right? Back when.
So back then she told me about Shopify,
oh, which I Lord. Bought.
Right? No, but I bought Shopify, because let me tell you, Shopify, when I bought it, I want to say I bought it for, I'm so mad at myself, because she said, girl, go ahead and get you some Shopify. And I was like, I was all stingy. I only got 3 shares. And I was like, oh, no. You know, so I got Shopify. I'm looking at my Robinhood account. I'm going to tell you exactly how much I paid for Shopify. I think I paid for Shopify like $100 and something. Let me see, Shopify. $100 and something dollars for Shopify. I bought it for $143. And Shopify right now is worth $1,142.
Per yep. share.
Wow. I bought it for, yes, per share. So I bought 3 shares for $143 a piece. It is up, you know, like, so that is, I mean, I'm up almost 700%, but only 3 measly shares. So you know I'm mad. Also, Nike at the time, it was half off. So she was telling us that, so that these are some of the stocks that I'm like, I'm, you know, I purchased and I'm happy with my purchase, but I didn't purchase enough. Cause I like Amazon. I call it like my play money account. Like I'll do a few, you know, one or two stocks here, one or two stocks there.
Yeah.
But I will tell you this, that one of the things I've learned from Carol, because almost all the stocks that she picks, like she bought Tesla
me
before, like, cause she's an engineer. She bought Tesla years ago. Me. She said, when Tesla, I think it was $30 a share, oh, $30 wow, a share when she bought
good.
Tesla.
Damn.
Mm-hmm. So the thing is, the thing about investing Sheesh. To remember is that investing is about people, right? Meaning you have to, I asked her, why did you think, like, you know, 10 years ago that Bitcoin was going to blow up, or 20 years ago Bitcoin's going to blow up? She said, because I was doing some research and I read about this currency that you can go online and people can buy, you know, illicit drugs yep. and not be market. Traced. And she said, mm-hmm. her antenna went up and she said, oh, people gonna love that, you know? And so, but you see what I mean? Like, it's about people. You look at something, you ask yourself, Nikes ain't going nowhere.
Right.
I still see Nikes all over. So if Nike stock has dropped, has it really dropped? Not in the streets.
Right.
So it was gonna go back up. So part of picking a stock is about being in tune to what human beings are doing and asking yourself, how is that going to play out? You know what I mean? Like, is Nike going to still be Nike? Yes, it is. Do people want to buy, like, do some more illegal stuff online and want to protect themselves and are willing to use Bitcoin? Yes, they are. So that's part of, like, how,
yep.
you know, that's how you kind of evaluate stocks, because you start to see that people will start to use them based upon, like, supply and demand. Like, does that make sense? And so even I'm trying to work on my spidey senses when it comes to that, because she's really good at looking at specific stocks and saying, you know what? I did notice a few years ago that people are doing more and more like Zoom. Duh. How did I miss out? She invested in Zoom. Right? She was like, right away, she was like, when she had her first meeting with her,
she knew.
She was like, let me get some Zoom. So now we be cussing her out. I said, girl, put it in the wealth chat. Over here making money on your home.
Yo, that's so real.
Because she'd be like, oh, I'm up 1,000%. I'm like, nobody cares. Put it in the wealth chat.
No, that's so real with Zoom. That's what I would just say. I thought that too. I was like, damn, mm-hmm. he definitely missed out on buying shares, because Zoom went yes. crazy during the pandemic because everybody out had to here. Use it. Like,
yes.
Mm-hmm.
So ask yourself now, what's the next step? So now that people, when outside is starting to open back up, like, what I would do if I was you, I would look. So you guys have heard of like the Roaring 20s or the Roaring 30s, I think they're called,
mm-hmm.
right? This is when everybody was drinking, dancing, having fun in the streets. But that was right after the Spanish flu. The Spanish flu, very similar to COVID, in that everybody had to wear a mask. They had to stay inside. It was a scary time. As a result, afterward, everybody flocked to the streets like, yay, like we're now. Free. So I would look to see, right? So I would look to see what things jumped up. Alcohol consumption, vacation. Like, so this is an opportunity to see ahead of time when outside fully opens. Yep. What are people going to be buying more? You might want to get some more. You might want to condoms. Because you know people going to be out here.
That's
that
real.
Morning after pill. What the drug companies with the morning after pill.
Exactly.
So smart. Yep. So
I would look at things like that and say, huh, what companies are strong companies that are probably going to get flooded once outside opens all the way up? And that's how you start to look at stocks. And then you evaluate if a company is strong or not.
Ooh, that was, I'm buzzing right now. That was
free
good.
Game. Well, not free. You got to buy the book.
All right. We mentioned briefly YouTube. Mm-hmm. I was wondering if there are any resources that you would like, because you don't have to, obviously, that you would like to share from maybe YouTube or something that you made, some things you may have seen on YouTube, because you are always all over like the media outlets. But I've noticed the almost, not to say that you were the first, but I feel like there's like an uptick or a trend. And maybe it's because I watch you so much through the media outlets. My algorithm just shows me more people giving, you know, financial advice and tips. So are there any other people that you would say you could nod to, or that you might reference to or trust, or anybody you want to put on? Because you always giving free game and you always teaching and putting and doing things for the future, Tiffany. So what you got for me?
No, absolutely. So some of my favorite people to follow. Well, first, let me say, like, you know, I have a podcast, Brown Ambition.
Hey.
Shout out to Mandy. We talk about money, career, all things in your brown skin as it relates to money and your career. So, but here's some of my favorite financial people that I like to lean into. I like, his name is Jaspreet. He has a YouTube channel called Minority Mindset. He's Sikh. And so, but he breaks down like kind of like, these, it's almost like an economy class. So if you're someone who was like, I don't get, what's a recession? Oh, snap. Like, even like, yo, okay, Jaspreet, I got it. Like, you'll find yourself, because his videos are short, you know, like, he's brown, and like, he just has this fun energy, but also too, he explains things in such a way, so but that, like, you know, like a depression, a recession, all these kind of like economic terms that you feel like you ought to know. So he's really good at explaining like what's happening, the market crash, and what does that mean? And
like
so Jaspreet of Minority Mindset is one of my faves. I also like the Earn Your Leisure guys. I'm sure you guys have heard of them.
Yes, I want to get them on the show. Yes.
Yes, you should. Rashad and Troy.
Such a fan.
You know, and but they also have this a guy named Ian. I think he's called the Master. What is it called? The Master Investor or something like that on Insta. So they do something called Market Mondays, where they really walk you through like what's happening in the stock market. So they're great. Who else do I really like? For credit, like I said, the Frugal Credit Nista, I really love. I love my friend Sandy. She's got this thing called, like, so I call her Side Hustles with Sandy, because Sandy is like, she is the queen of teaching people how to make money on the side.
Mm.
And so Sandy's IG is Yes, I Am Cheap. But what I love about Sandy is
that, I know, she's hilarious. That's awesome.
Right? But Sandy's a mom. Her son is not even 4 years old. I think he's 4. And she's a wife. And she's an HR professional. But last year alone, she told me, in her side hustle, she sells stuff on Amazon, things like that, she made $125,000.
On a side hustle.
So like, mm-hmm. So with Sandy, so she's one of my experts in the book. So in the Learn to Earn chapter, I pull out all these like tips and things from Sandy, but I would definitely look at her too. I'm trying to think of like,
Given us enough, and those two things that you just said right there are very important, because the fact that you touch on that in your book, a lot of what's coming up on my YouTube algorithm is, and I guess because of the one or two things I've watched, people hustling, doing the Shopify's, or them showing like what it's like to do their e-commerce and stuff like that. So I keep seeing a lot of that come up along with the financial stuff, along with the tidbits of the crypto happening, because everything is like happening in, because they're all markets, so they happen in tandem. Mm-hmm. So I didn't know if there were other little gems that we can get from
you. About what you're seeing in that, because there's an uptick. So I'll tell you, because it's important sometimes to pay attention to the white boy space too.
Yes,
because
please.
The scams originate there.
I like to get ahead.
Yes, I like to get ahead, and so like I will, like, for example, there's this Baller Alert. No, what is it called? Is it called Baller Alert? Not Baller Alert. I think it's called Baller Alert or Baller Scam or something on Instagram, where the scammers in the white boy space, he puts them on blast.
Oh, shit.
Mm.
But there are, so I will go to see who is, you know, who's being put on blast. And there's also this guy named CoffeeZilla on YouTube that he puts the scammers on blast. But what I like to see is I like to study how those scammers are, because it looks so legitimate at first. Like, here's my Shopify score, but it's all marketing. They literally have these like marketing templates to market to you, to sell you, you know, whatever garbage course or whatever that's not really real, you know, but they jump in and out of businesses. And what happens is 5-10 years later, you will see it start to seep into the black spaces. Mm. So I like to keep ahead by seeing like, okay, that's a scam, so I can recognize it when I see it, you know? And that's why I don't partner so easily. So when you see me link and partner with someone or say someone's name, it's because they have been vetted and tested. Right. Because because I see it. Like, I'll notice. I'm like, oh, so such and such is doing that template now. Girl, I clocked you because such and such, you know, like Grant Cardone did that BS like 5 years ago, since you late. But no, we can't partner.
Right.
Well, it feels good to be budget needs to tested and approved. I just want to throw it in.
Yes.
That's what I'm trying to give for real.
Budget needs to approve. Because I'm like, how can I be in this business to be of service to my people and then expose them to scams? So that's why I'm so mindful of who I partner with. That's why so many things I build myself, like the Facebook group, like the podcast. I have my online school, the Literature Academy. I built those things myself, you know, to help one, help me vet, but also two, so I know that when someone comes to me, that there is no gotcha. There is no scam. I can make 10 times more if I said yes to even half the partnerships that come my way.
Mm.
You know, but I'm like, you know, friend, all these people coming to you like, nah, I'm good.
I'm good.
You know, like, because, you know, you want to sleep. I want to sleep well at night, and I sleep well at night. So.
And speaking of scams, no shade, but people were asking about Forex.
Yeah. So I'll say this. Forex, it's such a shame because Forex in itself is not a
scam.
It's not. Right?
Like, so this is what I'm the Forex.
No. Yeah, no, because unfortunately, I don't know why these bots and scamish people have connected themselves to Forex. It's like having an e-commerce store is not a scam, but the scam artists have used that as one of their favorite tools. So what Forex really means
guilty
is
by
the
association.
Foreign exchange market. Exactly.
Oh, damn.
So Forex is the foreign exchange market. And the way it is that, like, you know how you go to another country and you're like, my $1 is worth $2 here, or my $1 is worth 50 cents here. That is what Forex is. It is people who are trading. They're hoping, because have you ever, before you go to a country, you want to see how far can my dollar go?
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
And literally, hour to hour, minute to minute, your dollar might be worth 125, 175, 135. So what they're doing online is literally exchanging. They're not going to that country, but they're trying to catch it. You see what I mean?
Got you.
And so, but you have to have a lot of money. Exactly. So it might be 2 cents, but if you've got, say, like $100,000 and you're like, ooh, in this 1 second, I can trade my $100,000 for $100,000 for whatever yen, I can stand to make $10,000 because it's up 5 cents in this 1 second.
Mm.
So I exchange it, then I exchange it back. So in its essence, it's not a scam. But most people don't know how to do Forex well, because you trading with Forex with $1,000, $5,000, it's not enough money in that, because it's literally cents typically. And I don't know why a lot of scammers have latched onto it, but no. And it's in its like pure form, it's just a foreign exchange market, and it's just people who are exchanging currency trying to make money.
So how is it that people are getting scammed? Because it just seems like such a thing online now, where people just randomly will tweet you like, hey, let me teach you how to do Forex. And you're just like, eh.
That's the scam. Because that the scam is not the Forex itself, is the
course.
It's the teaching. Yes, it's the course. Because most of those people don't know how to do that. But you buy the course because of, you know, these dreams of big money.
Right.
But you have to literally live by the computer.
Right.
Because literally,
like I was saying about crypto trading. Yeah.
Exactly. You know, so, but they don't want to tell you that. So, you know, you get like, oh my gosh, you made how much? But they didn't tell you they have $100,000 circulating. And you with right. your $200, you're going to make 50 cents an hour. Like, sis, you are better off, you know, working, putting your money in the index fund and let that thing do what it do.
Right.
Most people honestly are just better off with that. Putting your money in a mutual fund, putting your money in an index fund, like you're much better off doing that and working, budgeting, saving some, paying down debt, putting some money in a mutual fund or index fund. Most people would be just fine doing that. But everybody wants to do what's sexy.
Yeah.
But if you're, because I have a friend who teaches trading, and She is on task this year to make $50 million.
What?
Ooh.
Yes.
Ooh.
And so I won't put her name out there so she won't get stolen by sheep. But
just send her my Cash App.
But send because her my phone number. Fuck this. I know you did. She is looking now. I especially not gonna say her name now because she's like, no, you didn't. Yes, I did. Good. My bad. Right. So, but here's why. Because all of her 20s, for 10 years, she studied how to trade in the market. Mm. And so now in her 30s, you know, she started trading and now she's got a significant amount of money where she has about $7 to $10 million in an account that she trades and it makes her about $1 million a month. Ooh. But she said, you got to live and die by the trade. But you see, most of us are not because I'm busy.
Okay.
Like, I can't live by my account. So that's smart for her.
Right.
And so unless you are willing to put that much effort, you're not going to get that much reward out of
it. Right. Unless you're willing to turn it into a literal career. Yeah, it's not like a casual thing to trade. No. You got to stay on
she
it.
She put 10 years in that thing. Woo! You said 10 years, right?
10 years of really educating herself to trade. And now she's making bank. And I'm like, she had me saying, well, maybe I need to learn to trade.
I know. I feel you that way too. Because I've seen a lot of women, which has honestly been like the coolest thing. But a lot of Black women have gotten into trading. Crypto trading. I'm seeing more Black women on Twitter sharing stock advice and teaching people and kind of just throwing gems on there all day. I follow tons of Black women. I'll link some of them underneath too so people can follow. But that to me has been exciting. Yeah, and that's the thing. They break it down in a way that's really palatable and makes you feel like it's not as daunting. You know, they tell you everything from how to sign up, which are their favorite exchanges, how to trade, which stock, Even, you know, shouting out the people you mentioned, like Earn Your Leisure. I know they give a lot of awesome advice. So it's just been cool. I think, I don't know, I think because of the pandemic, the stock talk just flew.
Yes.
Like everyone is talking stocks now. Everyone. It's all I see on my feed.
And you can practice too. So like, for example, TD Ameritrade has something called Sink or Swim where you can, it's like a fake account.
Oh,
they give you fake money.
What?
So that way you can practice. And like my friend Tila, she teaches stocks, Tila Holcomb, right? So she teaches women how to trade. And
that's so cool.
She always suggests, like, she's like, she practices on Sink or Swim for a year before she used any real money. So it's possible to get your practice on, but you have to be, You cannot want to pick fruit that you didn't plant the seeds for. It's just doesn't, life just doesn't work that way.
That's real.
You know, you have to ask yourself now, you know. So I was talking to Dr. Green, who is my, you know, my coach. And she said, you know, you have to understand that, like, you manifest, everyone. Everyone manifests. That is what's happening. And manifestation is just planting a seed. And it grows, and that's yours because that's the seed that you planted. So she was like, not enough of us garden wisely. Mm. You know, you're saying that you're wanting this, but what do you listen to on a daily basis?
That's real.
That is gardening. You know, what do you watch? You know, what kind of talk do you have with your friends? What books are you reading or listening to? Are you planting the seeds for the thing that you said that you want? I remember in particular, like I remember Dustin, you said that you wanted to write for TV. Yep. And so you started, do you still do that segment?
Yeah.
Where you read, right?
Yeah. Well, and I don't do it on here anymore, but that definitely did, further to your point,
it changed everything.
Say is true.
Yep. Because that was an intentional seed that you planted. Like, I want to do a thing. I don't got to wait for permission for someone to tell me that I'm a writer. Yep. If you a writer, write. And you did. And as a result, look at where it's brought you.
Yes, Lord. You know? Yes, Father God and Mother.
Sorry for people. No, but for real. And so I'm like, this is with all things. Like, you know, I want you to plant good seeds so you can yield good fruit. There is so much money out here.
To be made.
You know, I used to think to myself that money was hard to make. This is what we all tell ourselves. Money is hard to make, for most of us anyway. We say this. Money is hard to make and requires an extreme amount of effort. And the truth is, that's not true.
That's real.
That's not true. You know, now, I'm not saying that there's no work involved, but because I told myself that, I used to work myself to the bone in order to make money. But now, I've literally done a live. You know, I did one of my friends had like a really great course. I did a live with her, sent out a couple of emails, and we made almost $1 million that weekend.
Holy shit.
And that's when I was like, wait, what? I said, wait, right? Because I had told myself money is hard to make and it's scarce. That's not true.
That's real.
Once you tap into your what's in alignment for you, I'm a teacher. And as long as I stay connected to my audience, as long as I'm true to my teaching background, as long as I'm always here to be of service, like I can tap into my audience to share a thing and know that they're likely to purchase it. Friend, how many times have you shared a thing and it's sold out that day?
Every day.
Right? Right? For real. Money's not hard to make.
It's not.
But that's because you're in alignment. Right. You know?
And I understand my role and I pay attention to it and the energy just flows for sure.
Exactly. Too many of us are out of alignment, but that's why I do what I do. That's why I wrote Get Good With Money, to help you with that foundation so you can seek your alignment and open the door. You are the bank. At any moment in time when you're ready, you can open the doors to the bank and money will flow
Amen.
In. But you have to have a foundation and you have to be planting and being a good gardener.
Amen. So before we get out here, people are asking about the housing market right now. There are people yes. that are like, houses are cheap. Should I jump in? Should I not? I mean, there are some markets that are not doing too well. Like I know some mm-hmm. Listeners from LA were saying the LA housing market is not mm-hmm. the buyer's market right now. But what's your advice on housing right now, buying homes? Should we do it? Should we not?
So it depends where you are. So living in Jersey, all y'all New York people are over here buying up everything. Like
we ain't got no choice.
I know. They done came in. Like I was like, $500,000 in Newark? Oh, hell no. Right? So I will say this, depending on the market, especially the coast, right, the edges of the United States, that the housing market, I would not buy, honestly, because I believe that these homes are overinflated. Ooh. Because you're seeing people leave the city in droves and it's driving up the price astronomically. So I likely would not jump in because it's likely to settle down and you might be left with a house that you paid more than what it's Ooh. Worth. So that's one.
Scary times.
Right? But depending, you might be in the central of, United States of America where that's just not true.
Yeah.
So now is a good time, potentially, if the houses where you live have not jumped up astronomically because interest rates are low. You know, they were lower before. I don't know if they're at 3%, around 3%. At one point, they were down to 2%. That means for every dollar you borrowed, you only owe 2 cents. That's amazing.
Wow.
But still, 3% is still amazing. So it might be worth it if you live in a place where the market is still stabilized or homes have actually dropped in value, to go ahead on, and now's a great time to lock in that low interest rate. So that way you're paying only 3 cents on every dollar.
And we did get questions too where people were saying, should I get a realtor before I have my down payment so that they can kind of guide me through the process? Or should I have my down payment and all my ducks in a row before even contacting anybody?
So I wouldn't contact a realtor just yet, because what you don't want is for them for you to find the perfect house and then you can't get it anyway.
Right.
Then you're
right.
wasting everybody's
right.
time.
Right, right,
right. So we're thinking about a down payment. I want you to think about this. I want you to, one, have it. If you're likely to, you might want to get an FHA loan, which is a loan from the federal government. If you're just getting a conventional loan, you're going to have to put down 20%. That's just a regular private loan. An FHA loan, it's almost like the difference between having private student loans and federal student
Got
loans.
You.
With an FHA loan, the down payment is 3.5%. So you at least want to have that down payment down, right? But then also, too, you're going to want to have something called closing costs. And closing costs are things like you're going to have to get an appraisal. You're going to have to maybe do a title search. A title search just means that they're going to search, does anybody else have any claim on this house? And so you're looking to set aside about 1% to 3% of the loan.
Mm-hmm.
So if the house is $100,000, 3% is $3,000, right? So that means that all of those kind of like little like one-off expenses, you want to have that saved as well. People always forget to save for closing costs. So once you have your money saved, that's just step one. Then step two, get your credit score above a 740.
Okay.
Because 740 is the beginning of that's perfect credit.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, I just
love you can do it.
Oh, no, I got it. Because of you, I got it because of you. Okay.
Right? Because if you go for a home, let's just say you have a 700, 680, you can still get a house, but you're not going to get that best interest rate. So it's worth it to wait till you get your 740 or better. So then you're great. And then third number you want to look at is your debt to income ratio. If you have too many other people that you owe, they're going to give you a hard time because they're worried that if you were to lose your job, you have six other people that you owe a lot of money to. Are we going to get our money? So you want to get your debt down. So get your debt down, get your credit up, and have your down payment and your closing costs saved. And then you can start looking for a realtor. If you're a first-time home buyer, I would suggest a program called NACA, N-A-C-A. It is they're a nonprofit organization that helps people, first-time home buyers. And a first-time home buyer is anybody who has not bought a home in like the last 4 years. So if you got a home, you had a home 8 years ago, you would be considered a first-time home buyer. They help you get the lowest interest rate. I've seen people get 1.5% interest rate, which is basically like you got the house without any fees.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. And so NACA is a program to try to get people to purchase homes who might not otherwise. They move a little bit slow, but it's worth it to get that low interest rate. If not NACA, look at your local bank to see if they have a first-time home buyer's course, just so you can understand the process of what you should be looking for. But if you do that, like, you know, home ownership can really be a cornerstone for wealth, especially Black and brown wealth. Mm. Because if bought properly, that home can generate income, like if you were to rent it out. Mm. Yeah. Or, you know, it depending where you purchase it, like, it might be worth so much more years from now. So it's really like my parents bought their house for $250,000 when I was 9. I'm 41 now. That house is worth $700,000. Mm-hmm. So that's a huge, that's like over $500,000 in equity that they have that adds to their bottom line. So if you purchase, so here's a trick to purchase, and I wish I would have known this, that unless you're buying some huge, humongous home, if you're just buying like a regular house or a condo, make sure that your mortgage is what I call rentable. Ask the realtor, for this house, what would it rent for in this neighborhood?
Okay.
You know, like, oh, well, you know, there's a similar house down the street, it'd be rent for $2,000. Try to get your mortgage to $2,000 or under. Because if you ever hit hard times, you can rent out your house and still make your mortgage payment.
Man, that's smart.
That's a gem.
Mm-hmm. I wish I would have known
that's
that.
That's a gem. Mm-hmm. And then lastly, you know, as it pertains to the housing stuff, people were asking about married couples where, or not even married couples, but just partnerships where one person makes more, has better credit, the other person doesn't. Should we both be going into this, or should one person just be like, hey, you go ahead and hide, I'll handle this? We got a lot of questions from that too.
That's good. So I say, so it depends. I'll give an example. I have great credit. My husband had great credit, but I had a foreclosure when we were looking for a home originally, mm-hmm. Still on my credit report. Even though I make more than him, they suggested I come off, because my foreclosure was going to make it very hard for a bank to say yes
to
us.
Interesting.
So, and he works for Newark Housing Authority. He worked for them for the last 20 years. Mm. Yo, they love a steady employee. Right. Yes. And they're like, oh, you are entrepreneur. Cause I'm over here like, well, you know, I make all this money. They're like, girl, we don't care. You're an entrepreneur, girl. We know what that means. Feast or famine. You ain't cute. You make your money today.
So
and then tomorrow you got broke again. But they're like, oh, Mr. Faithful over mm-hmm. here with his 20 years.
Mr. Loyal.
Old. We love him.
Right. Mm. Right.
Yep. So I came off when we were looking for a mortgage.
That's so interesting.
We ended up finding a foreclosure that we just bought straight out. So I'll say that like, it depends. So you can ask your mortgage person. You should be able to talk to them and say, you know, if you know, will I make the application stronger if one of us is on, if one of us is off? Typically, it makes it stronger if you're both on, unless someone has really bad credit or a whole bunch of debt, then they might say it's actually stronger if you come off. But speak to your mortgage lender. You don't have to hide that from them. They'll give you
the
good
best advice.
About that.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, I mean, I feel like this is full. We got some credit. We got some housing. We got some budgeting. We got some how to make more money in the pandemic. I want to make sure we covered all bases. Anything else you guys want to add?
I have one last housing question.
Hit us with it.
Okay.
New York City apartments, keep renting or try buying?
Honestly, buying is not for everyone. Like, you know, everybody will tell you to buy, but who's going to pay these taxes?
Right.
Okay. And from what from my understanding, that the apartments are much cheaper now as a result of like people leaving the
rent,
city.
You mean?
So,
yes,
the rent.
It is.
Uh-huh. That some place, you know, it's so it might still, because one, you have the housing going up. Like the cost of homes going up and then rents going down. So renting might not be a bad idea if you're not interested in owning a home, because it's an investment of time and energy and money. If you have decided that, you know what, instead I don't even know if I'm going to be here long. I might want to, you know, move to Bali. I might want to move to LA or whatever, that you don't want to necessarily purchase a, you know, a home. Mm-hmm. A home is not just, you know, to flex and say I got one. Right. Because taxes are really something else. Like, for example, I'm in Newark, and we have some of the lowest taxes in Essex County. Montclair, one house over, a few towns mm-hmm. over. What? So they have my taxes right now for the house I live in. 5 bedrooms, 3 full baths, finished basement, done outside. Everything is beautiful. Taxes, my taxes are, I think, $8,000 a year. Ooh. This home in Montclair might be $16,000, maybe close to $20,000 a year.
God.
So
damn.
The people don't talk to you about taxes. Yeah, there are people in Montclair whose taxes are $30,000 a year. So homeownership is not always the money-making thing that
and
people tell
that,
you.
That, to me, I think, has been my resistance with pushing the house thing, because I think people forget mm-hmm. to mention all those costs, the closing costs, the taxes, mm-hmm. like, not to mention the shit you have to fix because it's your home yeah. now. So even when you sign off, and I know they should be transparent about like what needs to be fixed, but shit just ends up breaking this wall. You mm-hmm. go to move this wall and then realize there's a pipe burst and yes. then, you know, the HVAC, like, is so much. The gate around the house.
So you're going to buy a home. Yeah. Make sure that is something that you're wanting to do, and then do the full math.
Right. Yeah. And that doesn't become a money pit, which I feel a lot yes. of my friends that have bought homes, they low-key regret it because they're yeah. like, very this common. Took my whole savings to buy. So yes. I already was starting with low money, you know, and then all the fixing that they have to do is just taking all their money, and it just hasn't been the most pleasant experience. So I've kind of been on mm-hmm. the fence, to be honest, about...
Consider house hacking, though, friend. Like, you might consider getting a two-family house. Mm. So that way, you have someone that either pays the mortgage or at least takes a huge edge off the mortgage.
Right.
So you can continue to pay what you used to pay as a renter, but now you have someone else that's helping. So that's one way to kind of, like, sidestep
and offset,
you know, being a homeowner but having some help.
Right. Mm-hmm. And I think, too, because I've been debt-free since 2015, there's that, yeah. that hey. Like, ping in my body that's like, oh, I don't want no more debt. I don't want nothing. I don't want
you
nobody.
You don't have to, girl, please. And also, too, consider, like, honestly, friend, you might consider, like, the house I live in now, it was worth $370, but it was a foreclosure because someone lost it because they couldn't afford it. I bought it for $180. We pay cash
that's
for it.
That's real.
So I have that's a home, but we don't have any mortgage. Mm.
That's,
you know,
my goal.
Because my husband, really, he grew up, like, in apartments his whole life. Project. And so he was like, I want a house. Yeah. I grew up in a house. And I was like, okay, so this was perfect. So now we live in this house. I'm debt-free like a five-year-old. There's no mortgage.
Hey. Ooh, it's I know just... that's right. Debt-free like a five-year-old.
Yes.
You know, and then we also bought another house from the city called the tax deed. Mm-hmm. That house was $10,000. Fixed
what?
It up with our own cash. And we'll be renting that out. And so we have two homes with no mortgage.
Wow.
Right? And then we paid off my parents' house.
Ooh.
Because they had taken money out to pay for my sister's school loans. That was $120,000. And so my parents are, you know, they don't have to worry about any mortgage
what
either.
A blessing.
But this is what happens when you get good with money, honestly. I think people think, because I'm the budgetista, or like when I'm talking about financial fundamentals, that it means that there's not wealth involved. No, a bitch is wealthy. But don't run up because you'll get done up. I told you my husband grew up in the projects.
Okay. I hear that. I can't wait for you to come back and tell us about your billion.
Right? But no, I want to illustrate, because I think people think that fundamentals means less funds, and that's just not true. It allows me, because I have such a strong foundation, it allows me to make moves that I would not otherwise be able to do.
Right.
You know, it allows me to purchase this home cash. It allows me to invest further
You're
into my
freed
business
up.
So it can yield back out. Yes, I want financial wholeness, honestly, for all of us, so you can build the wealth that you so richly deserve.
Yeah.
Ooh, I mean, on that
Thank
note.
Thank you, Tiffany.
On that note. Tiffany.
Well, can I tell the people where? I didn't even tell them where you could get the book
no,
from.
No, no,
right?
no. We're about to do the whole shebang.
Yeah, come
okay,
on.
The shebang.
Please
okay.
tell people your school, first of all, because that was the biggest impact the last time you came. People were like, that school changed my life. So please tell us
All
of your services, the books, the schools, the groups on Facebook, everything.
Okay. So this is for people who ain't got no money. This is okay, though, because I'm here to help you, too.
That's right.
I would start with the Facebook group. It's called Dream Catchers Live Richer with the Budgetista on Facebook. Totally free. Right. And you can. So that's where if you don't have any money, get that. Follow me on my socials at the Budgetista on everything. I give away so many tips on purpose,
yep.
You know, because you don't have to pay me to get help from me. That's like my promise to my people.
Woo,
then amen. You got a little bit of something. There's the Academy, the Live Richer Academy. We've got like 40,000 students getting their entire 40, life.
40,000 students.
Mm-hmm. Getting their entire life. And so we're making it even better now. We actually hired these two women from Stanford University to come in to help us revamp and make it even better. Mm. Like I put a lot of money into like, because I'm always wanting to make things better for y'all. So that's the Live Richer Academy. You can go to joinlra.com to learn more. We're always having a sale. It's like $50 a month, but we're always having some old $39.99 sale, something like that. So I'm sure there's some sale there up there. Because we are. Right? So that's the Academy. Of course, I told you about my podcast, Brown Ambition. Mm-hmm. I'm the Budgetista everywhere. And then the book, Get Good With Money, is available at getgoodwithmoney.com. You can get the book there, but there's a quiz to see what your financial wholeness score is. And I'll send you a free checklist after you take the quiz. There's the Get Good With Money toolkit with all of these resources. Even if you didn't buy the book, the toolkit is absolutely free with all the these resources from the book. Because like I said, at the end of the day, I don't have to work no more.
Ooh.
If I didn't want to. Mm-hmm. But I do this because I want to put more people in the position not to have to work anymore.
Amen.
And so there's so much I give away for free because I want to make sure that, you know, that we all good. Like, you know, so look at Destin with my green, my metallic green.
Money green, dog. The book coming, some money green packaging, dog. You already, you know from the giddy up what you're about to learn, how to get good with money.
Okay? My sister told me I was tacky for that. I'm like,
hell
whatever.
No.
It's the details.
Straight to the point.
No, but honestly, I'm just like, I just have to thank y'all because first of all, your audience is like, you already know. I mean, the first time I came on, I was like, what in the occult? they lived in my mentions. I was like, well, damn. Yes. Yeah, I mean, my Twitter was lit.
Yes.
Like, right? And so, and then the second time I came on, I was talking about like my children's book, Molly Moore. Happy yes. birthday, Molly Moore. And I did the Kickstarter. Yes. What? We made double what we wanted to do. So we were able to double the amount of books we were able to give away to
oh
kids.
Oh my God.
And
we
so you guys have
audience.
Just supported me
we
from.
We really do.
For real. But no, but it's a testament to y'all. You have supported me from like the very beginning. So it's just, I'm just grateful for a safe space to be black and excellent.
Yes, Lord. Yes.
And pour back in. So thank you.
And you're so
I mean,
dynamic.
Thank you. It's,
yeah, like you are.
Yeah.
You are, first of all, our top guest. Every episode we have with you, it becomes a top episode. And your energy, I've been able to work with you before outside of this in different spaces and just seeing you on stage, you're just so organized. You're so, like, you know your shit. And I think people like that, you know, a lot of us can bullshit through our things, but you just are always on 10. Like, I've never not seen you on 10. And it's inspiring. Everything that's happening now makes absolute sense. What they say, where your attention goes, energy flows, and you are a testament to that. Mm. So we thank you for the gems that you've blessed us with for a third time. We're so excited. We hope all your questions got answered to those of you listening that sent in. And also thank you to everyone that wrote in. And if everyone yes. is done with their questions, we will just thank you, Tiffany, yep. for episode 3 with the Budgetista.
Thank you so, thank much. You so much, Tiffany. Always
so
a pleasure.
Thankful
no,
for
thank
you.
You.
Always a pleasure. Yeah. And congratulations once again on your New York Times
New York best Times bestseller, baby.
Book.
Two times
two
over.
Times.
On these
two times
two
over.
Times on their ass.
Get Good
yes,
with
Tiffany.
Money. 10 Simple Steps to Becoming Financially Whole by Tiffany Alice, also known as the Budgetista. GetGoodWithMoney.com. Yes. And that's it for us. As
thank
always,
you.
We love you guys so much. Thank you for listening, and we will catch you guys next week.
Stay black and protect your magic.
Bye.